The recording has started.
And Sherry, are you ready to call roll yet?
Yes, I am.
Well, please call the roll. Thank you, Sherry.
Okay, on the telephone, I show myself, Sherry Schaefer, Mr. John Kruna, Mr. Eli Barry Garland, Mr. Pete Rogel, Mr. Jim Huddick, Mr. Carl Edwards, Mr. John Rockwell, A1C Caitlin DeHart, Ms. Tammy Gogia Cockrell, Mr. Dave Patterson, Ms. Naomi Ulrich, Deputy Chief Keith Berrien, Master Sergeant Simon Ryder, Lieutenant Benjamin Endres, Mr. Zach Haas, Mr. Mike Hawkins, Mr. Bruce Richter. Is there anybody else on the phone whose name I have not called? Okay, hearing none. President Anchorage, I show Mr. Paul Fussy, and who else do we have in Anchorage?
Scott Stromo, Nick Fanestock, Jim Woodall, David Reed.
Okay, and that does complete the roll call. Okay, that does complete the roll call, John.
Thank you very much. I would like to welcome everybody to the meeting for this March 1st meeting. At this point, Mr. Fussy, would you like to introduce our folks from Technisonic? Since we're going to have a Technisonic meeting afterwards. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is there Mr. Hoddick or anyone from the Technisonic team on?
Yes, Jim Hoddick is on.
Thank you, sir. So everyone, after the meeting, if you want to stay on the line, Technisonic team will give a presentation about their radios, and it's nice to hear the forestry folks on here. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Fussy. To move forward with the agenda, the first item, since we do not have a quorum to approve meeting minutes, is a review of the issues and risk log. Sherry, do we have any updates to the issues or risk log at this time?
John, just FYI, Mr. Henry Cole did join the meeting after we did the roll call, so that gives us our quorum.
Excellent, excellent. Thank you so very much. So at this time, we do have the review and approval of both the January and the February meeting minutes. Hopefully, everybody had a chance to review both of those meeting minutes. And at this time, I would entertain an introduction to approve the minutes. Sherry, I will approve, or so I'll move the minutes, and then who was seconding?
Keith was one of them.
Thank you very much, Keith. Are there any updates, changes to the meeting minutes at this time?
John, this is Sherry. I'm going to make one change to the February meeting minutes. At the end of the minutes, I did put in the motion and the second, but because we did not have a quorum at the meeting, I am just going to change that to note that the meeting ended versus having that motion and second, since there was no quorum present.
Oh, thank you, and very good point. Thank you, Sherry. Well, hearing no other changes, I review or I approve the meeting minutes for both January and February. Moving back to the review of the issues and risk log, Sherry, are there any updates to either the issues or the risk log at this time?
There are no changes from the last meeting.
And how about the action item list, Sherry?
Yes, we had two action items. The first was, waiting for my document to open. The first was Mr. Woodall requested the agenda item for the user council representatives be changed from the 11th Airborne and or USARAC to read the U.S. Army installations. That was accomplished. The second was Deputy Keith Berrien requested an update on available TDMA base stations slash consulates, and that also has been closed.
Very good. Thank you very much, Sherry. At this point, we can move on to the operations management overview, and I turn it over to Mr. Paul Fussy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Welcome everybody to the meeting. So we'll start right out with the first quarter live training event. The key and the topic was interoperability. That was completed on February 14th. Excellent presentation by Mr. Dan Nelson. excuse me, the recording is posted on the website, and we're working on the AMMR overview for new users. Video vignette is also posted to the website. Any questions on the training that we're putting out? Hearing none, we'll go. And February document review was the strategic and operations plan. And if we go to our February system metrics, the amount of calls on the system for February was 1,485,464. As you can see on the slide there, it's down just a little bit from January, but significantly higher than February at this time, last year at this time. Push to talks, 2,405,353. Once again, a lot higher than last year. And we look at our monthly busies, 402. The top four sites were Donnelly Dome, Birch Hill, Nanana, and Pegger Road. But if you look at the percentage, it's still a 0.0002%. The system performance, the monthly sites below 3.9. Go right here. Those are the sites that were below 3.9, Alcantara, Bailey Hill, Goose Creek, Hill 3265, Pillar Mountain, Sitka, and Woman's Bay. Also, our subscriber count, 25,390, up from 231 from January. Any questions on the monthly metrics? Hearing none, I'll continue. On our website, 423 sessions, 89% were new. 11% were returning. Some of the other action items. So the February security audit was completed with zero violations. And as of this morning, the quarterly zone control rollover started. So it'll complete tomorrow. So we were in here very early this morning working on that. Zero issues this morning on the initial rollover. We'll complete that tomorrow. Some of the concerns, I brought it up at the last UC meeting, but once it's been rebooted, system's been rebooted, the consulates and other items need to be rebooted. And you're looking at zone 1, 2, and zone 4. Looking at my notes here, I do not have a slide for this. This is under other items. Right now under zone 1, there are 12 consulates that need to be rebooted. Zone 2 is 16, and zone 4 is 17 of them. I'm going to be reaching out to individuals, just like I did at the last UC meeting, and we're going to have to get those rebooted to get those security updates put into the system. And then the last other item coming up at the end of March is the International Wireless Communications Expo. So myself, other team members will be attending that. So I plan to meet with the radio and communication dealers and working with other vendors to come up to Alaska and test their products on the ALMR system, similar to what I've been doing with the other vendors. So that's all I have for the other items. Any questions? Thank you, Mr. Chair. That's all I have.
Thank you, Paul. I appreciate the update. We can move on to the system management office overview, and I'll turn it off to Nick. Or turn it
over. Thank you, John. Thank you. I've got nothing to add.
Nothing to add. Any questions for the system management office? I have a feeling this is going to be a short meeting. We can move on to the next agenda item, which is the State of Alaska and Department of Defense overviews. Anything from you, Mr. Stormo?
Nothing exciting has changed at the moment, so we're still working through waiting Fed ramp approval on the federal side of the government for Smart Connect, which will enable that Apex Next and some other stuff on the system. And we still are working with Motorola on getting radio management set up for us. Kind of in our initial phase, we'll be working with some, using it for AST radios. And once that's up and running, I think we can try to figure out how other agencies or other organizations could potentially use it as well. I don't have anything further to add unless there's any questions.
Any questions for Mr. Stormo? Thank you, Scott. Is Mr. Woodall online? I don't recall.
Yes, I am.
Thank you. Tim, I'm going to turn it over for you for a DOD update.
All right. With regard to DOD, Alaskan Command, who is aligned under U.S. Northern Command, is reassessing its requirement to sustain the transportable north and south. We expect that decision to be made here within the next 90 days. If we are not going to retain that capability, it is most likely that we would offer it to the state through a process that we've exercised before in passing LMR equipment. So that there is a process under the DERMO, the Logistics Air Force Logistics or DOD Logistics process to transfer it to the state. We just need to do the right proper paperwork if that occurs. So that evaluation is undergoing. We'll keep everyone abreast of that status. Second of all is that the DOD is working with the state on a fiduciary agreement. That agreement will address the contracting requirements for both the OMO and for the infrastructure operations and maintenance services contracts, how the responsibility for contract administration, the process for invoicing and paying invoices, all of that is being addressed in an intergovernmental service support agreement, which will codify exactly how we execute those processes and hopefully resolve issues of lingering payments or payment issues or other issues related to contract administration and payments. That is being put together by a JAG officer that we have from the Air Force Reserves. And we met with the state yesterday to get their inputs. And we expect within the next 60 days that agreement will be out for coordination with the appropriate stakeholders. Any questions remain with regard to that or anything else I've talked about? Hearing none, that's all I have.
Well, thank you very much, Tim. I appreciate it. Also, I appreciate the diligent work you're doing on that fiduciary agreement. As we've in the past had some issues with funding, I know this will streamline that effort. So again, my appreciation to you. So we can move on to the user council representative updates. Anything from the SOA components, that's DOT, DPS, and all others.
This is, excuse me, this is Henry Cole for DOT. We are still moving forward slowly, but with our kind of radio replacement project, hoping to come up with a firm plan to have almost all of our user end units replaced within the next couple of years, but not a lot of progress on that of late.
Well, thank you, Mr. Cole. I did notice, or it was pointed out to me, that you did put a capital ask in for, was it 1.7 for the next 3 years? 1.7 million for the next 3 years for radios?
I think that's the number that I asked for, yeah. So if that's what made it into the department's final request, then that's a good sign.
Well, excellent. So. Good luck with that.
Thank you.
Nothing from DPS at this point. So anything from all others?
Good afternoon. This is Carl. And no, I don't have anything today. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Carl. I appreciate it. How about from the DOD component? That's U.S. Army Installations, J-Bear, Eielson.
Nothing for me at this time.
All right. Tim, yesterday you were talking about Clear was changing names or something. Could you refresh my memory on that?
No, Clear is not changing names. I think that was a misunderstanding you may have gotten.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It was related to a previous billing and who Clear fell under with regard to whether it was Vast Space or Air Combat Command. So that discussion, but there is no change in Clear in terms of its name or its operational status.
Thank you so very much. I was, I guess I needed that clarification. I appreciate it. We can move on to federal non-DOD components. Any updates from DOJ, DOI, or all others?
Nothing from the FBI.
Well, thank you, sir. Appreciate the update. How about the municipal component, either central or north or southeast?
This is Tammy in Soldotin, and I don't have anything today. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Tammy. So after that, that does bring us to the next agenda item, which is any new business. So I open up the floor for new business for today.
John, this is David Reed.
Yes, sir.
I am just giving an update on the APX Next and the push to talk location services. I am building the change management package for that at this time to present at the executive board meeting later on this month. And we'll move forward from there. We do not have an approval for FedRAMP yet, but I want to make sure that our side of this is done, so we're not starting the process once they approve it. We can move forward.
Perfect. Thank you very much, Mr. Reed. I appreciate the update on that, because many projects that I've got going on are going to be relying on that approval and FedRAMP. So I appreciate the update. Any other new business? How about I open up the floor to just any questions or comments that anybody has regarding ANLMR? Is there anything that you're curious about that we can get the subject matter experts to enlighten us about?
Is it possible to have Nick give an update on the final status of the upgrade, or where we're at with that, and has it been finalized, and what remains, including microwave?
Nick, are you able to do that?
The state side, we're waiting for Juniper routers to be delivered. Once the Juniper routers are delivered, we'll be cutting over to Ethernet, which will allow us to go to TDMA. It's not sounding like that's going to happen completely in this calendar year. They don't have a firm commitment on the Juniper routers yet. There's supply chain problems, and we require the I think it's TAA compliant, I think was the words, but it basically means it was made in the right country.
Right.
So we needed those more secure type routers. From the DoD side, I wasn't at the last meeting, but my understanding is I'm looking at the schedule that through the summer their microwave work will hopefully be upgraded. I believe the DoD was looking to have Motorola assist with some of the structurals that needed to be done. So that's kind of holding things up, and it's not always easy for everybody to figure out how to get done. So I think they were going to try to get Motorola to help with that. I would get the microwave done this summer. I don't know if their federal side has gotten Juniper routers for the DoD sites or if they've got the same challenge that we're having. But they would obviously need a lot fewer than we would need for all of our projects, but they would need the Juniper routers put in and then cut over to TDMA. So
are you tracking that they're going to continue with the state frequencies on the microwave or FCC frequencies on the microwave, or are they?
It looks like they're changing them around.
Okay.
That's kind of what I was getting at the last thing to Avia. Kind of like Avia was going to be taking control of as far as the equipment goes. The dishes would get changed out possibly. And then, yeah, they were talking about the frequencies may get changed or may not kind of up in the air from the last season.
There's really no reason to change them. I don't know why they would want to do that. I mean, they'd have to give me a pretty good reason for needing to change them.
I won't speak for them, so I wouldn't.
Given we're only changing equipment, the frequencies are assigned and compatible. So it's a new approval versus a modification to an existing record, which is a longer term requirement of getting it approved and so forth. So we would prefer that they continue to use the frequencies that are already assigned, as that would be the most efficient. Unless there's some kind of interference potential that magically appears now because we've changed hardware. I don't see that happening.
Right. We've mentioned that to him a couple times now, but I think what's up in the air is coming essentially from Avia and that itself. And it may be technical reason, engineering reason.
Well, it could be maybe because they're buying on the federal side and they believe they have to comply with it. They should be. They're buying on the federal side, but they should be buying commercial equipment.
Right. They may be thinking we can't use right. commercial stuff here at federal.
So if they need something from me to say that we are authorized to use that we have existing licenses, I can provide that. And I've offered that a number of times, but if you're in the news, then you can trust that.
I can
trust that issue.
The only one that's entirely new, I think, is Clear because they're using an unlicensed microwave that we put in for a while back, so they would need a new license altogether.
Get a license for that one, absolutely. But I don't want to have to relicense brand new all of the existing systems. We may not. The FCC may not be its kind, right? So, for federal use.
Right.
There's a risk there. So,
yeah. And we've mentioned it several times too. I don't know if they're just trying to let Avia go get the licenses for us, and then, like we just talked about, the previous federal customer, we got to get a license that's available to them. So they might just be doing all the coordination and licensing behind the scenes, and I'm not really sure.
Yeah, there's really no reason to relicense anything. It's, again, it's a modification of the record, changing the equipment.
Right.
So power doesn't change. Emission doesn't change, I don't think, does it? The emission designators. So the type emission is right. basically the same. Power is the same. So all we're changing is the hardware.
Right.
That's an administrative change primarily across the board versus if you go get a whole new record, then you'd have to delete the existing and then go get new assignments. That could delay the project even further if we're looking at this summer because it could take some time to get that approved.
Modulation was brought up once in the meeting. I don't know if they were talking about changing it or whatnot.
If we need to, we can still modify an emission. We can add an emission designator if necessary. So that's, again, that's the modification versus a new requirement, which is goes much faster and doesn't get the level of scrutiny that a new assignment would.
We've said this before too, but the other problem with changing frequencies is we won't have spares to help if if the microwave hot breaks. They've got to have spares on hand, and we certainly, if we're there, can help if they've got the equipment to do the fix. But we won't be able to pull something off our shelf.
And you can effectively reroute around those microwaves that they've got, because effectively they become part of the SATs when they're in it, when they're on, correct?
I mean, many of them clear as a spur shot, but I hope I'm not speaking out of but that should all stay the same, that it's jumping on the 7705 and getting on the state's microwave to get back to the zone controller. So presumably none of that's changed. Nobody's ever said it was. So
okay, that's what we need to verify.
Right.
Okay, sorry, I'll take enough time. Just thought it'd be good for everyone to be tracking that.
Well, thank you very much, Tim. Yes, very good discussion. Are there any other questions or even complaints at this time of the meeting that anybody would like to bring up? Well, hearing none, I can go to the next agenda item, which is just announcing the next meetings. The next scheduled meetings are April 5th and May 3rd. And I open the mics up to any other questions or comments or concerns before I ask for a motion to adjourn.
Mr. Chair, this is Paul Hussey. May I say something?
Please.
Yep. So, Watson Associates, my employer, they've done some security upgrades, so my email has changed. So it's now paul.fussey@watson.onmicrosoft.com. So some people that I was sending emails out to, it had gone into their spam email. So double check on some of the emails that I sent out, and that's been updated on my signature also. I just want to let folks know on that one in case I said that I'll send out an email. They did not get any. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. I did get it in my, it's not my spam folder, but it was quarantined, that in my quarantine notice. And so I appreciate you mentioning that. All right. Anything else? If not, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
This is Henry Cole. I move to adjourn.
Thank you, Mr. Cole. And a second. And Sherry, I can be the second on that. And then, Paul, we have that Technisonics presentation at this point. As soon as Sherry's able to stop the